I'm Kate Remington. I'm talking with Paul Shenley. He's the founder and the artistic director of Piano Fest in the Hamptons, which is celebrating its 30th anniversary this season. And it's great to talk with you, and congratulations.
Thank you very, very much. It's hard to believe that when I started Piano Fest, I was almost like a student, kind of a bright young thing, and suddenly I've turned into a wise old owl. That's how it happened, but it's been a wonderful experience for all of us.
I can imagine. I'm sure that you get this question often, but it's not a thing that just anyone would think of. So how did you get the idea of starting the festival in the first place?
Around 1987, I rented a small cottage in Three Mile Harbor, Long Island, and winter and spring had been very busy for a long time, and I'd worked without a break and needed time to get away and most of all relax. I needed to be near New York City, and a friend recommended the Hamptons as an unusual, beautiful area close to New York, but a good place to read and rest and be outdoors and go fishing. I love to fish, and so Montauk was a big attraction to me too.
Wow, it sounds idyllic, and I'm sure that there was kind of a learning curve right off the bat. So what are some of the things that you know now after 30 years of experience that you wish you had known when you were starting the festival?
Well, some of the things, the most important things, have stayed the same. There's a really wonderful cosmopolitan population and I guess audience in the Hamptons, and the sunsets and the rest of nature are still spectacular. And, you know, there's great radio station, WSHU. At that time, there was also a wonderful college radio station and the art galleries. So what have I learned? Well, when I decided that I wanted to start a music festival, I knew and had already attended a concert of the Bridgehampton Chamber Music Society, which is a wonderful organization. And I met someone who saw me speaking to André Michel Schub, one of the pianists performing there. And his name was Bill Plate, and we started a conversation, and I told him about my idea of wanting to start a music festival out here. And I hadn't known anybody when I came to the Hamptons, but after I met him toward the end of the summer, he promised to help introduce me to some people that he thought were interested in music. So I came once or twice during the winter time for a cocktail party and met some people. And then I just loaded a truck with six pianos from the Cleveland Institute of Music, where I teach in Ohio, and found a place to rent, put the pianos inside, came with six students, and I made arrangements to get the auditorium. At that time, it was called the Fine Arts Theater at Long Island University, and we gave our first concert.
That's amazing. I love the idea of how there are pianos all over the house where Piano Fest is headquartered now. And so I'm wondering, you know, how are they allocated, because you know you don't have enough pianos for everybody to be playing at the same time. So is there like a roster, or how does that all work?
I'm trying to think how many practice spaces there are, but there's 11 pianos in the house, and there's one in the kitchen and one in every bedroom. It's a big house, and when I first rented it, there were no doors between some of the hallways, so I remember making styrofoam enclosures that we had to pull on and off to try to get a minimum of soundproofing, and there was no air conditioning either, so sometimes it was very hot, both for the pianists and for the pianos. But since then, we've improved the house and installed heavy doors. People can hear each other, but you get used to it right away. If you're a pianist, you lead a solitary life, and I hope for anybody that's thinking of becoming a pianist that you like to practice, because you'll spend most of your time in a practice room by yourself. But here, it's like a colony of pianists, and they'll gladly trade having to hear somebody in the next room while they practice for the opportunity to just share and support each other and spend time together and learn from each other.
Yeah, it sounds like a great environment. I know as a piano major at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, I could always hear whoever was in the next room playing some spectacularly difficult piece by Rachmaninoff, and I'd be there just thinking, oh, I'm just going to give up now. But it sounds like there's this really wonderful spirit of collaboration between all of the people that come every summer.
Well, part of my goal of Piano Fest is to bring together young musicians and audiences to develop and maintain music appreciation and musical standards. And the students also share music with others in the Hamptons. We've done outreach programs at the Fresh Air Home in Boys Harbor when they were here. And there's been a really nice bonding and friendship with members of the community. It's a growing experience and a maturing experience for the kids, too. I think one of the most important skills anyone can have are interpersonal. And so the kids are getting from the community, but giving also.
Yeah, you know, there are so many opportunities now during the summer for musicians. And so what do you think draws the people who apply for Piano Fest? What do you think the big draw is for them?
One is the intimacy. And Piano Fest stresses an ethic based on support rather than competition. Most other music festivals have a competition or something else to attract the students. I'm totally against that during the summer here. And so even though we don't have a competition and they've gone on to make their mark both on the national and international level, what they enjoy most of all is just the opportunity to sight read together and learn four-hand and six-hand and eight-hand works and to attend each other's lessons. They share in the cooking. They share in each other's laundry. Part of the experience here is learning how to live with others. I remember one summer there was one of the pianists, and the pianist wouldn't speak to anybody else in the house for a few days and just was seething with anger, and none of us could figure out what had happened. And it only came out a few days later that somebody had used that pianist's laundry detergent and hadn't left any for them. And so they were just so mad that they, you know, they were acting like that. So little things like that, how to be considerate of each other and how to be, as I said, supportive, is a big part of the learning experience.
And that sounds like those are things that they're going to carry along with them once they leave at the end of the season, too.
Yes, and they carry along lots and lots of friendships. Piano Fest is renewed every year with new pianists and new talents and new music and interpretive insights, including my own. But they all, even though the students are very diverse and come from many different places and are different ages, they all serve the same muse and have the same dreams.
Wow. Well, let's talk about the concerts, because there are still a few left in this season. And they're on Mondays at Stony Brook Southampton. And then there are some Wednesday concerts at St. Luke's Episcopal Church. And the final concert of the season is on August 13th. So how are the programs chosen?
I listen to what the students bring to their lessons. And based on what I hear and who I think is ready, and also to give equal opportunity for everyone to perform, I try to find a balanced program. Sometimes we don't decide. In fact, we usually don't decide on our programs until the night before. And we're printing the programs on the day of the concert, which is why I can't advertise in advance the program. But it seems to work out well, and pianists also, I think, thrive on necessity, so it's nice to have a deadline. And they come here sometimes with repertoire that they need for the school year or for competitions coming up or for the new concert season. So I try to work with them to prepare what they need and then also suggest pieces that they learn here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if they come with pieces that they have to learn or if they just kind of leave it open to whatever. But I would imagine just the experience of working on a piece with a teacher who's not their usual person gives them different insights, too.
Yes, that's certainly true, Kate. And there's 2 4-week sessions, 12 or 13 pianists each session. So there isn't that much time, really. They participate in about 6 or 7 concerts, the pianists, but not every pianist plays in every concert. So we rotate things, and certainly they play for each other. It's the funniest thing in the world to be in the kitchen while they're cooking and somebody's practicing the Rachmaninoff Third Concerto while the pots are sizzling and they're talking to each other. It's quite unique.
Well, I think what's so interesting about that image is that it really illustrates how classical music can just be part of everyday life. It doesn't have to be always heard from a stage or from a CD. It's just right there because somebody's playing it.
There's never enough good music, and the kids, you know, sometimes if they're doing a concerto, one pianist will be in one room and the orchestra will be in the next room, and they'll just listen to each other.
What are some of the concerts that are coming up that you're especially looking forward to?
This group of students just arrived, so I'm just getting to know them, but I know that the repertoire that we're doing, there's lots of Schubert and Chopin and Prokofiev and Schumann and Beethoven. So I'll be picking and choosing, but there will always be a variety of styles.
Oh, that sounds really wonderful. And again, you know, I think it illustrates just how endless the repertoire for the piano is, because, you know, lots of people have been writing it for centuries. So there's plenty of music for them to choose from.
And that's part of what's intimidating about a concert experience, is that there is so much and so many different styles of music. So what I do, either before the performance or afterwards, I'll talk about the piece that the audience is about to hear and comment on it, sometimes giving them a guide to what to listen for, or sometimes commenting on the experience that they just listened to and critiquing the pianist. But it's very supportive. The pianists, by the time they walk on stage and perform, we get to know each other, and they trust me, and they know I would never try to, you know, upstage them or embarrass them. So it's really something that's for both. I work both sides of the stage, so to speak, trying to communicate with the audience and the pianist on stage. And it's really meant for people at all skills of listening and music appreciation and love.
Oh, it sounds really wonderful. And how can people get tickets?
Tickets are sold at the door, and there'll always be seating available. So it's $20 for adults, and students are free.
That's fantastic, because you want to, I'm sure, make it as inclusive as possible.
Yes, I do. I think we have 11 different countries represented here. For the first time, I had a couple of students that couldn't get visas to come here, one from Moscow Conservatory and another student. They were denied visas, so that was a level of stress for me I haven't encountered before. But we still have many, many different countries, and the diversity has been the most wonderful thing about Piano Fest. I really don't want all people from the same schools or the same nationalities or even the same sex.
Wow. It just sounds amazing. And Paul, it's been so wonderful to talk with you about it and get a little bit of the history and what you're doing right now. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate, and thank WSHU for your support for us. It's really very meaningful.